You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me, down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles aren't dusty. Beer in the tackle box, out on the fair. I'm baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight, even if it takes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I
good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Foreman and Jeff Messina. And we are rolling into the 9 a.m. hour of Real Talk Radio. And the phone text line is still open. Go ahead, give us a call. Shoot us a text, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. And we're actually going to head straight on over to line one because we've got Captain Steve Johnson standing by with the tournament and event rundown. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Steve.
Hey there.
How's it going, Steve?
It's going good. Got a great show going this morning. Thanks.
Well, it was really great having you back in the studio last weekend. So thank you again for your time and all the great information on some of the boater-friendly fishing destinations across the state of Florida. That was awesome. Appreciate
it. We have a lot of here in Florida. We've got a lot of opportunities, both fresh and saltwater. So I appreciate it very much you having me in there. It was a great time. I really, really do appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to do it again sometime. So what is going on in the tournament and event world? Give us the scoop.
Well, locally, I wanted to give a shout-out to Team Towboat US, Kyle Potts and his team. Won the 11th annual Ding Darling Doc Ford's Tarpon Tournament yesterday.
Nice.
Awesome.
They leadered 7 tarpon yesterday.
Wow.
And took an overwhelming lead and won the tournament yesterday. So it was a great, great event. They had about 40 boats. So it turned out real well. And congratulations to them. So,
yeah. Congratulations.
The tarpon
guys
are still out there.
Hey, real quick question, Steve, that's because I know you'll know this answer. What is the maximum size for the leader on those tournaments?
I believe it's 80, but I'm not.
No, I mean the length.
Oh, the length?
Yeah.
Is it 6 foot? And I don't know, to be totally honest.
Yeah. I know in the sailfish tournaments I used to do when I was a kid, you couldn't have a leader over certain length.
Certain length, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are certain weights and certain lengths. So I don't know if they enforce that in these tournaments or not, so these local-type tournaments. But it's great to see everybody out there catching a lot of tarpon still. So like Dave was saying, everything's been kind of early for us. The water temp is so high out there right now, these fish are just fired up. So.
Yep.
Coming up tomorrow, we have the 23rd annual Pine Island Elementary Fishing Derby over in Boquilla. So that's a great little event to take kids to. We also have tomorrow the Tarpon Fly Fishing Invitational out of Tarpon Lodge, and that's a great event. And then coming up next weekend, we've got a couple of great big events. We've got the CCA Star Tournament starting.
Yes.
Happening all over the state of Florida. So we're all looking forward to that. That'll run all the way through September 11th, I believe it is. And tons of prizes and great things to win. Boats, all kinds of stuff, money, cash. Even if you don't find and catch a tag redfish, there's so many other things that you can enter fish in and win prizes and money. It's a great, great thing. It's not that expensive if you're already a member. I believe it's $40. If you're not a member, I think it's $60 for that. And if you go to fish-florida.com and just click on any region and click on CCA Star Tournament, it'll take you right to their place that you can register for that tournament. And it's a great, great event. So
yeah, register, download the app, and then head into Lear's or Sportsman's Wholesale and get your measuring device.
Yep, you have to have the official measuring device to use it with the tournament. So you've got to get hold of one of those, and they're available in many, many locations. So get registered, get one of those measuring tapes, and start catching up some fish and putting them into the app. It's very easy. It's a lot of fun. Even the kids are getting enjoyment out of it doing it. Even just catching small little fish, they can win money for scholarships and all kinds of things. So
yeah, they do make it really easy to get signed up and to submit fish. And don't forget about the trash division. I know there's still a lot of trash out there in our waterways.
Don't know anything about that division right there.
Yeah.
pick up a bucket of trash and take a picture of it, and you're entered. So.
And you can win a trip to the Keys to tour the Papas Pilar Distillery. There's some really awesome prizes. So
Yeah, really cool. We also have coming up next weekend, which is our holiday weekend, we've got the Boca H2O Music Fest, and that's happening at Boca Grande there by the River Bridge Sandbar. Make sure you've got a designated boat driver for that event. Lots of cocktails going down there, so be careful. You know, drive safe. Have a sober driver driving your boat, so very important. Also coming up in June, locally here, we've got this on June the 3rd. We've got the 16th annual Bricks and Sticks Inshore Benefit. That's happening at Tarpon Point in Cape Coral. And on the 17th, we've got a Blastmasters Series. This is their number two event happening on the 17th. And on the 24th, the Maverick Boats Group has their Southwest Florida Owners Tournament, and that's happening at Tarpon Lodge. So if you're an MGB boat owner, they have that event every year. They have them actually all over. They'll have another one in the Keys coming up shortly as well. So up in the Central West, a little bit north of us, coming up on June the 10th, we've got the Inshore Slam at Pasco County Firefighters in Port Richey. And we also have the 16th annual Fire Charity Fishing Event in Palmetto. On the 17th, that's just the Blastmasters, so that's another one of theirs. Coming up in the East Coast area, yet this month here, next weekend, we have the Rusty Bucket Bay House 3rd Annual Kids Fishing Tournament, and that's in Port Richey. On June, over on the East Coast, we've got June 1st, we've got the Kingfish Mayhem in St. Augustine. On the 3rd, we've got the 37th Annual Ladies Fish Off in Pompano. On the 17th, we've got the Reeling and Fun Ormond Beach. It's a kids fishing event over there in Ormond Beach. Actually, it's up there. It's up there near St. Augustine, Jacksonville area. In the Keys, we've got a couple of things happening as well. Betty Bowman has her event going on this week, so good luck to her. Hope everything's going good, maybe she's still listening.
Yes.
And also in the Keys in June, we've got on June the 2nd, we've got the 30th annual Lower Keys Chamber of Commerce Dolphin Tournament, and that's out of Little Torch Key. And on the 16th, we have the 11th annual Dolphin Fishing Tournament in Key West. And last but not least, up in the New Panhandle area, I've got one tournament going on next month, June the 3rd, and it's the Florida Redfish Series Stock number 6, and that's in Panacea. So quite a few things still going on. Tournaments will start to slow down a little bit in the summertime. We start getting into late June, July. They'll slow down a little bit in July and August, and then they'll start firing back up big time September, October. So keep an eye out. If you're looking for any information on tournaments, go to fish-florida.com. Check it out. If there's nothing up there that you're looking for or can't find what you're looking for, you may call. If you're the tournament director and it's not up there, shoot me an email and give me your information. I will get it up there as quickly as possible. So check it out.
Fantastic. Thank you, Steve, for that update. We appreciate that. We'll catch up with you next Saturday.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Have a great weekend. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That is Captain Steve Johnson with fish-florida.com giving us the tournament and event rundown. We got a couple minutes before our famous, infamous, useless information segment. So where did we leave off? We were talking about guides. We were talking about rod guides.
You said you had a couple of questions about guides.
Well, no, I said I definitely wanted to talk about that because, yeah, Jeff made a really good point that if you buy a rod, an inexpensive rod that's got inexpensive guides,
the
guides are one of the first things that you're going to have issues with in a lot of cases. And I know that, you know, people think, oh, well, do the guides really make that that big of a difference.
Oh.
But
oh, yeah.
Talk about some of the different types of guides, because now we've got the micro guides.
Yeah, the micro guides, I am not a fan of. You're talking about the one? No, I'm sorry. Those are the wave guides? Or you're talking about the microwave guides with the basically the big ring and then it's got a little ring in the
and
center.
Then the small, yeah. Yeah, the small, very small guys.
Yeah,
so you're not a fan. Why?
Not a fan.
Garbage.
Yeah. Just, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jeff. They fall apart. It's made by American Tackle. American Tackle does have ring lock. That is actually a really good guide that they have. They are a little bit more expensive, but in general, it's just, you know, they're just manufacturing them out too quick. And the ceramic insert that's inside them does have a tendency to crack with the new super lines and the braided lines that you're using. So what happens is those braided lines basically go to work on that ceramic insert and wind up cutting the guide, and the guide just falls out. Why I use Fuji Alkanite standard on every one of my rods, it's like the lowest end that I'll use. Yeah, it's much more pricier than those microwaves, but the ring itself will withstand that braid abuse. So, and Fuji makes a really good frame as well. As long as you take care of it, you're washing it off every time you go out and in the salt water, you know, just give it a good quick rinse down, that they'll hold up.
A little bit about, because inevitably, and I know you've been there as a captain, you get clients on the boat, and what's the first thing they want to do when you tell them, all right, we're going to go move from this spot to the next spot, and they reel in their line, and where do they want to put their hook?
Well, they'll put it on the frame. On my boat, I don't have any hook keepers on any of my rods. You put it on the frame.
You're not a fan of hook keepers?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of hook keepers because I've been hooked too many times by them.
Huh.
So, and they just drive
me nuts. You've been hooked by the hook keeper?
Yeah. And if anybody wants to know how to store a rod.
Oh, you mean when you're storing the rods you're transporting them? Okay.
And I tell this to my clients all the time. Yeah, when we're moving from one spot to the next spot.
Yeah.
One. Do not try and force the line down to the guide with the lure. It turns the rod into a spring, and if the lure comes out of your hand, it may hook you or hit someone behind you or next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Open, even better, the rod breaks.
Oh, yeah, even better, the rod break. open the bail. It's just one little quick, easy step. You know, hold the lure, open the bail, bring it down to the first guide that comes from the reel, and hook it onto the frame. Do not put it in the actual eye.
Yeah, because, the little foot parts where you want to put it on.
Yeah, when you put it inside the guide, one, you can damage the inside of the ceramic of the guide. The other is you can nick your line, which you might not see the nick, but might cause an excuse down the line of, oh, wow, I must have nicked my line when I lost that big old fish when I was stowing my rods. I actually use a technique when I'm ever stowing my rods, when I'm doing like a long run, I'll actually take the lure or the, you know, whatever I have, the hook, I'll actually bring it up underneath the reel and back up to the top so that the hook is upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you never want to store a rod with any kind of bend in it, because rods will get a memory, especially if they're out in sunlight where the sun's constantly beating down on them. If you got that bow in your rod,
mm-hmm.
and then
it'll be there forever.
It will be there forever once it gets in there. So.
Well, and talk about the material that you prefer when you're purchasing these guides, and the Fuji guides that you use are made from.
Well,
and then what the insert is actually made from.
Fuji, all their guides now that are coming out, except for their titanium frame. Obviously, they're titanium, but there are other frames that they have, the lesser frame, which come into Concepto and the Alkanite and also the SIC, are the aluminum oxide, which is the same material that they build your car rims out of.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually very, you know, they're very strong rim.
Very durable.
Yeah, and they do not corrode, as, you know, unless you literally, I haven't washed that rod in like 2 weeks. Yeah, they're going to start to corrode, but they do not corrode very easily. So it's not one of those, you know, where their older rings where they were doing an overspray of chrome, or they were doing overspray of gold, where they would corrode a little bit easier, even if you were rinsing them off, they'll get that corrosion because there was metal in the paint that they used on it.
Yeah, okay, so one real quick tidbit of useful information before we launch into useless information. So if you're fishing salt water and you're looking for the heaviest duty guides on a rod, you're looking for guides that are made of what material?
Aluminum oxide.
Aluminum oxide is the way to go.
Yeah, or titanium, the new titanium.
Which titanium is going to be a little bit more.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more.
But, yes.
I have people literally, they'll be
But
like,
if you're fishing a lot, it's an investment that's worth making.
Well, so, I once, cry once.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's definitely not one rod that you want to have bounce out the back of the boat. Fuji makes probably the most expensive guide that's on the market. And probably one of the toughest, which is I'm probably going to butcher this, but Tortorize. It's a combination of titanium and ceramic for the ring and in a titanium frame. Hmm. The set itself at a wholesale value is like $150.
Yeah. So when somebody calls you and they say, Captain Jim, I need a custom rod, and you tell them the price.
Yeah. And you know, I go through what they want and what I recommend. Like, right. I tell everybody the SIC guide, which is another one that's a ceramic and aluminum oxide blend that they use on it. Line comes off the reel really well with this guide. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much, I've actually seen them where they got trapped into a truck tailgate and the ring didn't break, but the frame did. So, but you know, it's a really good guide. And I recommend, you know, for an extra $30, $40 more to the rod, it's actually worth it to have that ring because you literally won't have any issues. But the Fuji Alkanite guide, the better you take care of them, the better it's going to be responding. You've got a couple of rods that that have those Fuji Alkanites. I think you got one or two that has the SIC on there too, right?
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I just let you have your artistic freedom and do what you want. And
I think the yellow one.
Haven't had any problems, though. So.
Yeah. All right. We like I said, we got a segue out of this useful info.
I think that's a good formatic adoption we could make going forward is, you know, maybe ask our guests to offer their best piece of useful information to kind of provide a little balance. For
exactly.
This,
you know, I mean, we're all about balance.
We are.
We're all about balance here.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now from the totally awesome book of useless information.
Awesome. Totally awesome.
Here's your host and mine. Captain Debbie Hansen with useless information.
Are you ready for this, Jeff?
Let's hear it.
This is the Positively Paleontology edition of useless information.
Paleontology, that's the study of turtles, right? No, I'm just...
No.
It was just a joke. I was just making a joke.
No, not turtles.
I know. Dinosaurs.
Aliens?
Thank you.
Octopus.
Octopus.
Octopi.
Oh, wait. We're talking dinosaurs, though, so we're talking more about tarpon. All
right. We're going to kick it off with the fact that dinosaurs have actually they haven't lived on Earth, but they did live on Earth for nearly 150 million years, which is 75 times longer than humans have now lived on Earth.
Wow.
That's a little deep.
That's something for us to shoot for.
Yeah.
Quite a track record.
I don't know.
And that's actually a very good track record. I mean,
it really is.
I don't know how much confidence I have in us.
I'd like to see the human race last that long on Earth.
Or one tenth of that.
Exactly. All right, moving on to number two. The woolly mammoth had tusks that were almost 16 feet long. Wow. Which could be useful information.
Those
were
like giants
then.
On Earth, right? I mean,
well, and here's I always have to vet all of this information check into this. So you would think woolly mammoth, huge, like much bigger than an elephant, right?
You'd think.
No, contrary to common belief, the woolly mammoth was hardly mammoth in size. They were roughly about the size of a modern African elephant.
Really?
Yes.
They just had huge tusks.
In fact, a male woolly mammoth's shoulder height was about 9 to 11 feet tall, and they weighed around 6 tons. So, yeah. They had small ears, no big ears like elephants do now. And they were actually roughly the same size as an elephant. So
it sounds still pretty big to me.
you would think big. Yeah. And then last but not least, some dinosaurs were actually as small as hens. What is a hen weigh? Here you go, Dave. Oh, yeah. This one's for you. One of the smallest dinosaurs known was called Compsognathius, and it grew only about as large as a chicken. Mm. And then there's actually some research that leads scientists to believe, I guess they analyzed some molecular, I don't know, some kind of molecular substance from a T-Rex bone. And they found that the Tyrannosaurus rex is most closely related to a bird.
I've heard that before. Chickens. Yes. Yeah. I have heard that before.
So there you go.
Well, so we're some useful information kind of sneaking into
I'm
going to add on to that one, though. So I'm going back to
you
the
gotta
mammoth.
You got to make it quick because we got to take it off to a break here.
Going back to the mammoth, you go to your local boatyard. You got the boat lift right there. You stand up next to it, and that's like standing next to the, one of those mammoths. That's what I was just thinking about. You know, the big forklifts that they use there.
Yeah, yeah.
You get up
scale.
Next to that, and that you want to scale up on.
I'm sure that's what everybody thinks about when they stand next to a boat lift.
Yeah, like, man, it's like standing next to a mammoth.
All right, you're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida at ESPNSWFL.com and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app, presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com, everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman and Jeff Messina. We've been talking bucktail jigs. We've been talking custom rod building. We've been talking inshore fishing. We've been talking about dinosaurs. We're just covering all our bases.
Alien octopi.
Beach Boy just texted in. He said someone made up dinosaur sounds without ever hearing them.
This is true.
So I wonder where you can find these made up dinosaur sounds.
Jurassic Park.
There's got to be some. There has to be some level of research that's gone into this.
Go back to Jurassic Park 1, and they covered all the races with that one.
Those were some great movies. But then I felt really like once it got into like Jurassic Park number 12.
Oh, the last one was like, oh my goodness. all they needed was aliens. So maybe they could have brought an octopus into the fray.
So, the alien octopi.
Yeah, going back to the dinosaur thing, though, tarpon, where they have actually found fossil records of tarpon from back in, I think, over 100,000 years
old. Well, you think about a lot of our freshwater fish species, too. Yeah. Bowfin, gar. A lot of these fish species have around forever.
I really don't know if I want to run into a prehistoric gar. I mean, that would just freak me out. But then again, though, I saw a picture of a snakehead this week, and I'm like, why is anybody even targeting that fish? That thing looked like a boa. This one that this guy, he had caught a snakehead.
Yeah.
And it looked literally like it had bred with a python. I mean, it had all the same markings of it. And I'm like, is it a python or is it a, did the python and the snakehead get together? I don't
know. Yeah,
and
I'm telling you that if you go back and listen to the show, or if you were listening that Saturday, we had Alberto and Corey Nowakowski, who both target snakeheads on air. Some of the Corey is constantly posting on his Facebook page. He's the one that has the couple of world. He keeps breaking his own world records. And if you look at some of the huge snakeheads he's got posted on his social media channels, it's just
it was ironic.
Crazy.
Literally, as you said his name,
Alberto
calls
in.
I was talking on the phone.
Alberto,
and I told him, I go, we got to wait a minute or two before we get to you, because we have the only person on the show more crazy than you in line first. So.
Well, I'm gonna grab Gator Tom real quick here. Gator Tom, hey, we've only got a minute here, but we appreciate you calling in.
I understand. I just wanted to send you a picture of Mother's Day up at Aunt Vivian's house. And, you know, everything went well. Marge was so taken by that picture at Moonlight that she gave me a great big hug, fractured three of my ribs in her vertebrae.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness, Gator Tom. Well, take care of yourself. And do not send us pictures of cane toads.
Yep, I got pain pills. I got pain pills.
No, I'm talking about cane toads.
Cane toads, not pain pills.
You said he's been texting in since 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
so.
Clearly not much sleep is going on, Gator Tom. We get it.
You roll over and you wake up because the pain is excruciating.
Well, hang in there, my friend. Hang in there.
I can apologize to Jim Portman. I think I misinitiated his name the other day by calling him Portman. I'm not sure about that.
He's been texting and referring you as Jim Portman for like weeks, and we keep saying, no, it's Fortman. So.
Fortman with an F, Gator Tom.
Yeah, well, all right. Jim Portman. All right.
We're heading over to line two to grab Crazy Alberto.
You can ask this to Alberto. Do you need a fishing license to go magnet fishing for steelhead?
Oh, my gosh.
Have a great weekend, man.
Have a great weekend, Gator Tom. Man. Bye-bye. Bye.
Boot off the stage.
Oh, that was, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious.
We got to throw Alberto on this because he's going to fall.
I think. Do we have Alberto?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You
might need to click him, okay, click him on for me.
I believe he should be with us now.
Hello? Hey, Alberto.
Hey, hey. How's everybody?
The wheels are coming off in the studio here this morning.
Oh, no, you're not kidding, man. I tell you, man.
I was wondering if you were going to call in hearing that big snook story that we were talking about.
No, aside from the big snook, I mean, let me just give kudos to you guys. Jim, Jeff, I mean, obviously, Devin, the whole team. This is why I love your show so much. You guys can talk about everything and talk about techniques and tactics and rods and bucktails, octopus. What the hell? I love it.
Well, it was either that or talk about the weather. So, oh, wait, we covered that one too.
just a wide range of random topics, Alberto, this morning.
Yeah,
you know?
Just don't talk about that funny yellow fruit. That's all.
No.
We talked about that.
Oh,
the pineapple.
The pineapple, yes.
They're good luck. Put a pineapple on the boat.
Wow.
I'm hoping my guys from Baltimore are going to bring
pineapple like the international symbol of welcome? Like, isn't that why they have like a welcome sign with a big pineapple on it? So,
it very well be.
The other yellow fruit.
I know the tuna guys up north, they literally bring a pineapple out for opening season and put it right there on their dash.
Yeah, it's good luck.
So, Alberto, are you ever going to send me that cobia picture?
Which one?
The one I caught years back. We were fishing together, and I was waiting for you to send it to me, and I never got it. We were fishing on the Sea Trek. It was the biggest cobia I ever caught, and you took pictures of it, and I never got it.
See, you didn't expect that one coming out of Jeff.
Yes, I do remember. Oh, my goodness. But, hey, let's talk some.
It's still a fish story, by the way.
No fish stories. I'd like to talk about rod building, which is awesome, and a lot of people don't talk about.
Yes, let's talk about it. Let's go
and,
there.
And to chime in on the micro guides,
yes.
I totally concur. I do not like that because it's too thin, and it also doesn't allow to underwrap, especially when you're going after big fish, and there's not enough tolerance for a long shock leader or heavy leader. So that's a no-no. Unless you're just going to go 100% braid, that's okay. But when you're going after some decent-sized fish, you need a shock leader or at least a decent a mono or fluorocarbon leader. And with the micro guides, that's a no-no.
Yeah, because I was going to say for the finesse fishing that I do when I'm fishing with braid, I actually really like the micro guides. I'm a fan for a lot of the applications that I do.
Right. If you're doing freshwater and finessing,
yeah,
that's
light tackle, artificial,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, aluminum oxides and talk about the titanium Fuji guides, the SIC, they all have this time and place. But if you're looking for a quality titanium, but you have to be very careful with titanium because the newer version of titanium guides, they're not as strong as you think they are because how they blend in together. Because I had a huge meeting with Fuji guys.
Yeah.
And basically we had to wrap up the old titanium because I made a casing point that they were not as strong.
Yeah, because Alberto, you do a lot of product testing, and you are constantly putting tackle and gear to the test on these monster fish. So
I try to you know, not abuse, but use their product in the most extreme way.
And I do know what you're talking about with them, because actually last time I was up at Mudhole, they did
have
the titanium, the old ones versus the newer ones. When they switched over to doing those K-frames, and they're doing everything in K-frame now, they actually made the titanium a thinner, trying to cut down on the weight of the guide.
Yeah, titanium is light, and everybody talks about going lighter and lighter, but they cannot compromise with performance, and that was an issue.
Well, and I would imagine if they're trying to go lighter, then you're also compromising the strength too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But this is all good. And my God, you guys talk about bucktail. Hell yeah.
Love some bucktails.
Yeah, we were going to talk about flare hawks, but then it was like, you know.
Well, you know, flare hawks is very extremely popular here in Florida. But if you go break away from Florida, go around the world, bucktail is it.
You can catch anything on a bucktail. You go anywhere in the world and catch something on a bucktail.
Well, we've talked about this before.
They put a white bucktail in the Navy survival kit.
Yes, that's what I was just going to mention. I know Jim and I have talked about that before on air too. So and just what you need to tie these jigs yourself if you want to tie your own and. What you're looking for. I mean, like, what are you guys looking for? Alberto, I'm going to throw this question to you, but when you say you're not tying your own bucktails, but when you go to a tackle shop and you're looking for a quality bucktail jig, what are you looking for specifically?
First and most important, you have to understand what type of bucktailing you're doing. There are bullet heads, there are ball heads, there are smiling bills, there's all different kinds and all that. Each one of them have a specific purpose. And it's all about how you present it. It's like what Jim said, you know, a quick snap just to attract. You're basically doing that because you try to get their initial reaction. But since I do a lot of night fishing, you know, it's all about sweeping. You know, keeping really close to the bottom, allow the current or the flow, you know, sweep across the structure. And that is probably the biggest key to it. But I have a question for you guys. Does color matter?
Alberto's gonna.
I tried to get him to go down this route earlier, but Alberto, I think I just needed you to call in and pry it out of him.
All right, go ahead.
Daytime and depending on type of species, you know, it does matter a lot. But then at nighttime, it really doesn't matter as long as it's black or dark. And it's all about the silhouette at nighttime.
Yeah, and right now we've got so many of the guys have been calling in with reports saying how clear the water is. So in those super clear conditions, are you using jigs that have much flash, not much flash? I would imagine you want a more subtle presentation.
Well, you know that saying about match the hatch?
Yep.
That is true. However, water quality, density, the salinity, that all will alter, you know, and the objective is to get that fish to bite. So sometimes you add curly tails, sometimes you add flash just to break through the dingy or dark water. but undulations or anything like a curly tails or the difference between a bucktail and a flare hog, it's a tremendous difference.
Right.
Flare hog got a huge pulsating, which has a lot of, to do with the different types of bayfish that are in the water here in Florida compared to the Northeast coast or any other part of the world. But I tell you, the topic, I could spend days on talking about bucktail.
Yeah.
It's interesting with rod building. So I didn't get an answer from you guys. Does color matter?
Always.
Well, yeah, it always matters. And just like you brought up at night,
right.
One of my go-to, especially when doing the topwater lures, I like using the old black and yellow head. Or the black and red head versus using a white
one.
That's
the old school staple,
yeah.
Basically.
But it also contains the same thing when you get that dirty water in my area where white is not going to cut it. That's why black and purple are probably the predominant
colors. And I was going to, especially in 10,000 Islands area, it does matter.
Yeah.
And especially Jim, I don't know if you recall when you and I met at 239.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about a specific orange.
Oh yeah, and that's specific.
You know, there's Pantone colors of different kinds of hues, but there's one very specific orange.
Real quick, and then we got to head off to break. I know this is some mad knowledge here.
Yeah, that orange is really specific to that area because of the fact, and it's also actually very specific to the northern region around the panhandle.
Correct.
It's that oyster crab that has that big orange claw that you'll see up on the beach, and that's what really draws in the redfish and the black drum. Also, the sea trout like it. Caught triple tail on that around the stumps in the area because that's what they're feeding on.
Yeah,
all right.
But there's something about that because that particular orange works well on the Northeast coast too. So
yeah, so it's those little subtle differences that can make or break your day out there. All
real
right,
quick,
we got
real
no,
quick.
We can't. Rick is giving me the stink eye.
Have you used John Kim jigs yet up there?
Yes, I have.
How are they holding up?
All right. Alvaro,
all right.
Thanks.
Take it easy, Alvaro. I'll see you when you get down here.
All right.
Send that Toby a picture.
Soon. Too much to talk about. Talk to you soon.
Right.
Bye.
Right. Bye. Bye.
That is crazy Alberto Nee calling in, and we're heading off to a break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida, ESPNSWFL.com, and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app, presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
Come September, you can find me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman, and Jeff Messina. And we're rolling into the final 10 minutes of Real Talk Radio. Man, did we cover a lot this morning.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of
playback. Still plenty more that we could be covering, but we got to have some for next time, so that's all good. I'm actually going to head straight on over to line one because we've got fly casting instructor extraordinaire Joe Mahler standing by. So let's grab his call. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Doing awesome. How are you? I know you're...
By the way, I'm a little upset. My nemesis, Alberto, kept me on hold for 19 minutes.
19 minutes? Wait, you waited 19 minutes to get on the show?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So and you got somewhere in that neighborhood.
You got something going on until about 6 o'clock tonight, right?
What?
I don't think he's going to be casting till 6, but fill us in, Joe. What?
I won't. No. So I just wanted to let you know, and you meant to, I'm going to be down at 239 flies, and that's a whole lot of flies, at 11 o'clock doing a casting demonstration outside. So if anybody's like, you know, got nothing to do, come on down. Love to have you out.
Even if they have something to do, they still need to stop by and see you.
Even if they do it between things that they have to do, that's great.
Actually, if you want to get a lot of knowledge in a good amount of time, I've seen Joe. He is really good. He is just like me and Jeff with the spinning rod, except he uses a fly rod to do it. And he's always a pleasure to have out on the boat. I know that.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I can't skip it like you guys do, but
I've seen you skip it. Help.
So, Joe, real quick, give us the scoop. What are you going to be going through today?
Well, so today we're going to talk about a few. I've got some new stuff. I've been working on an article about sort of a natural and a holistic sort of approach to casting, which is a little bit different. And we're going to talk about some normal stuff: casting straighter, casting farther, hitting targets, all that. But and who knows? And really, the thing about not preparing is I'm always ready. So
wait,
who knows?
Just to recap, you're going to be teaching about how not to throw your back out while you're fly casting?
That's pretty much it.
All right, that's
absolutely. Yeah,
every one of my clients need that.
Well, great. Yeah. So go see Joe. It starts at 11, Joe, and goes until what, like 1-ish?
Until we run out of questions or interest or people.
Oh, I got a question already. Are
fantastic.
You going to do any fly tying while you're there?
I'm sure that somebody's going to be at the vice while we're down there.
Okay, good.
It won't be Joe. He's focusing on casting today.
It won't be me. I'm all thumbs when it comes to tying. So.
Oh.
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, fantastic. Okay. So people need to head down and see you at 239 Flies starting at 11 o'clock today. And get down there early and get your spot. So
I'll be out there.
Thanks for calling in, Joe.
Okay,
we'll catch up with you soon.
Great show.
Take care. Bye. That is Joe Mahler, fly casting extraordinaire. You can find Joe. He's online at joemahler.com if you want to learn more about Joe and his effortless fly casting style.
He's got a couple of YouTube, doesn't he, as well?
Oh, he's got a YouTube channel.
Yeah, he's got well worth it.
There's some great videos up there where he's casting like six fly rods at a time.
Yeah, he makes it look effortless. I mean, literally effortless.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy doesn't even have to cast and catches a fish. I actually had the opportunity to see that out on the boat. I was like, you didn't even cast your line. You're just letting your line out, and he caught a fish on the fly rod.
Yeah. Great guy. So stop by 239 Flies and see him here in the next hour. But we got just a few minutes left. So I know we started talking a little bit about, we talked earlier about some of the different types of materials that you're using when you're tying jigs. Bucktail, of course, bucktail jigs are the standard jig that have been around forever that are in the Navy survival kits.
Air Force too.
But
Marines.
The one thing I wanted to ask you guys that we didn't touch on earlier is, so when you're looking at bucktail, how are you determining what types of those bucktail fibers that you want to use for a particular jig for someone who doesn't know and they're buying bucktail for the first time?
All right, I'll answer the first half. You get the other half of this one.
You got about 2 minutes.
Okay, we can do this. All right, so in general, you want to look for a longer hair piece of bucktail, which is, you know, in the section where it says, you know, especially for tying jigs. They sell it in a long hair pouch. You know, it will literally see long hair bucktail on it. The bottom end is usually the longer hair where it kind of flows a little bit more. But Jeff's going to tell us what to do with the top piece.
Top piece is a lot of flies. You can actually make good chuggers with it, and they push a lot of water.
Yeah,
they're just called deer hair flies, and you can make them real thick.
Yeah, you can make them.
And it pushes water.
Like a head almost, like a popping head with it. You can cut it down and shape it.
Yep.
The mullet fly guy that's over in Miami. That's all he does. It literally looks like a mullet, and it's a deer hair fly with, I think, a little bit of rabbit tail in the center to give it that swim.
But you're saying when you actually go into the store, so if you go into a fly tying shop, you're going into 239 Flies, wherever.
Where?
you're looking for a certain type of bucktail.
Yeah.
You said long hair bucktail. Long
hair bucktail. That's because they'll actually sell the shorter piece.
Yeah, the little chunk.
Yeah, a little chunk of it. You don't want to buy that for doing bucktails. For doing flies, yeah, you want to buy that smaller piece. But is when, you know, I go in there and the guys over at 239, they see me coming and they're like putting their stuff away. You know, like you heard Nick earlier, always asking for that dark brown. and there are certain times of year, and the fly guys over at the shops will tell you the same thing. There's certain times of year where you'll actually get a longer hair on the bucktail itself because, you know, it's a certain time of year that the tail's been harvested. In the spring, you'll get a shorter hair versus when you buy a bucktail in the fall or winter. That's when I like to buy all my bucktails in the fall and winter. Unfortunately, so is everybody else. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's a first come, first serve on that one. But
well, you just need to have some extra stock up and have some extra on hand.
I buy 7-8 pouches at a time, certain colors. So.
Well, there you go. All right. It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jim, for coming into the studio.
Always a pleasure. And thank you, Rick, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday, same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
It's been a lovely I'm sorry it's ended, oh, it's sad, but it's true, honey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.